Thank you, Dave. Another member of the Dave's Union here, I think. Well, sisters and brothers, isn't this a great day to be alive and to be here? I think it is for me. However, in contrast to that, consider this bit of stale news. It was from the Associated Press. The dateline was nearly 2 years ago, November 7th, 2007. And it came from Columbus, Ohio, on the national wire service. Condensing it down, it reads like this. I mean, just quoting the essence of the lead on it. Paul Tibbetts died Thursday. He was 92 years old. Well, it seems to me like that's a good ripe age. Why should something like that make the national news? Let's see, how many of you, I'm curious, remember who Paul Tibbetts was? A couple of hands. Guys maybe who were in the speech club a couple of years ago. I'll give you a hint. His mother's name was Enola Gay. Yeah, groans of recognition there. And Paul Tibbetts was the pilot of the B-29 bomber that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. He and his crew of 12 did that August 6, 1945, and thus began the age of nuclear war. So why am I starting out with Paul Tibbetts' death? Well, it symbolizes one way that some of us viewed certain prophetic statement by Jesus Christ, and also the way that we speculated on its meaning a few decades ago. And that prophecy ties in with the purpose of this day. Most of us here, including me, have no memory of a time before the nuclear age. And so it was when I heard a certain sermon some four decades ago now. It kind of resonated and left an indelible impression in my mind. It was given on this annual High Day back in those days. It was given by a high-ranking minister in the church at that time. And I'm not here to pick at what he said. I think our understanding has grown since then. Since that time, things have not turned out actually the way we expected them back in those days, the days of the Cold War. In this sermonette, we'll look at an intriguing prophetic statement by Jesus Christ and explore its meaning for God's people today. The statement, as you might guess, is in the Olivet Prophecy of Matthew 24. And I'll be jumping around in that chapter quite a bit. That's about the only place I'm going today. The answer to question in response to what the disciples asked as to when would he return as the Messiah and King and establish the kingdom of God. It's in verse 34 of Matthew 24. Jesus said, "So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he, or it, as the case may be, a second coming, is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you," and this is a statement, "this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." So what did Jesus mean by this generation that will not pass away? Obviously, it wasn't the same generation as the disciples. One plausible meaning was voiced in the late 1960s anyway by at least a few of the ministers in God's church at the time. And it was this that I recently decided I wanted to re-examine. So let's look back at a few verses earlier for more contrast. More context. Verse 22 of the same chapter, Matthew 24. Verse 22, "Unless those days have been cut short, no life or flesh," as King James says, "would have been saved." And not that it matters, but I've taken this out of the New American Standard Translation. It's convenient on my computer. Of course, before the nuclear age, starting in 1945, no prior weapons were able to destroy all flesh or all human life. We've all heard that many times. Now, consider one human generation is in the order of 25 to 30 years. And it just happened that if you took the year 1945 and added 27 to 30 years, what does that bring you to? 1972 to 1975. It's kind of tied in conveniently with the time frame of prophecy as some construed it and taught it at AC back in those days. But anyway, no such climax happened in the 1970s. Now, here we are, 64 years later, more than two generations that have passed since that first A-bomb, and still our own generation hasn't passed away. I'm still here. But the generation of Colonel Tibbetts is rapidly passing away. So what generation was Jesus referring to? There are clues. Let's look at, again, at the signs of the last generation. This is clue number one. Going back to verse 33, Matthew 24, 33. So you too, when you see all, and I emphasize and repeat all, these things, recognize that he or it, the end, is near, right at the door. And what are some of all these other things that must be visible before the end comes? Just as a start, we call verses 5 to 8, and I'm not going to read all of that. This is where Christ began his discourse. And the things that he mentioned were religious deceivers and imposters, famines and shortages, wars and rumors of wars, and huge disease epidemics, what we call the four horsemen of the apocalypse from Revelation 6, as most of you have heard. Further, as we see, if we go back to verse 21 and 22, lubricate the lips here a bit. Verses 21 and 22. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Until the end, of course. Until those days had been cut short, or I should say, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. Now, those words convey a time worse than anything up to the final end. And the Nazi Holocaust was the worst thing we know of up to this point in time. It was arguably the greatest atrocity in history. Now, last spring, when we were in Jerusalem, we had an excellent tour guide named Eric. And this American-Israeli tour guide took us quickly through a lot of the Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And we could see that it was affecting him visibly. He was very subdued. And he mentioned that it always affects him because both he and his wife had family members in previous generations who had perished in the Holocaust. And for that reason, he said, that's why the Israelis are so intent on the slogan, never again. Well, unfortunately, Jesus said there is going to be a worse atrocity yet to come. We didn't tell him that, of course. Although he may have known, it's amazing what this man knew from the New Testament. But Christ foretold there is a worse one yet to come, and that's part of this whole picture. Clue number two. Now compare some of the phrasing that John wrote down just in the beginning of the book of Revelation. And I'm not going there, I'll just read the essence of it. You'd call this I'd call it the defined purpose, the declared purpose of that book. which is the revelation to show Christ's servants the things that must shortly come to pass, as the King James has it. Now, shortly is an adverb in the Greek, and it explains or clarifies how the action takes place, not necessarily when. And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown comment on it like this. The Greek phrase for shortly means quickly or speedily, with haste. These conditions then must take place quickly, because if they lasted more than one generation, humankind would not survive it. All humanity would be extinguished in more than one generation. Now, I don't claim to have come up with this insight on my own. This explanation basically came from our publication titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? And that's available also online on the Good News website. It's a great resource to use. I just want to quote a little bit from what that publication says. Christ was saying that only one generation will witness all the mounting global conditions described in God's word. The generation that will see the end, or the arrival of a specific 3.5-year period that will usher out this present evil age. I think I garbled that a little bit, but you got the point. Continuing, when he said, this generation will not pass away, he was explaining that once all of the prophesied world conditions are present, they will not continue indefinitely. And once the conditions exist, all will be fulfilled, including the return of Jesus Christ, within the lifetime of that one generation. Well, tying it together then, evidently Christ did not mean that the mere arms race of nuclear weapons would start the clock on the last 30-year or so generation of humankind. In the same passage, Jesus spoke of many other signs that were also required, all of them collectively. He said, when you see all these things, not just some. And yet, Christ went on to say in verse 42 of Matthew 24, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And I think day is a little bit more broad meaning right there. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. I don't think that verse is there just to scare us, because Jesus said more going down in verse 45 and 46. Who then is the faithful and sensible bondservant whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? And then he got on to the lesson of that parable in verse 46. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. So that, sisters and brothers, is part of why we are here today. There is a blessing that God's promised, and God's people must still be doing as expected and continuing to keep on doing it, probably longer than we expected. So let's keep on keeping on.